Brian Eno with Fractal Zoom there in the background. And welcome to this first day of 2007. How are you doing, Mikhail?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a big night last night playing music in downtown Nevada City, so I was up pretty late, but it was a festive occasion.
Well, good.
And good fun with Buck Love and the Humperheads and Organic Flood, alternating sets all night downtown. And it was just there at Cooper's. It was a lot of fun. And I to wake up to a day like this, you know, when you kind of, it looked like yesterday we were going to go into the dark gray skies, and now we're back to this beautiful sunshine. So it's a brand new year of tech, a brand new year of all kinds of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of tech forecasts of those of you that read the Chronicle today. There's a big thing right here in the E section, 2007 tech forecasts, and something that Glenn and I and Paul Castro have been bantering back and forth for a while, talking about MP3 players, as well as the new Apple iPhone, which looks to be actually coming to pass in some sense. I mean, there's more and more talk about it, and Macworld's coming up in just another week, so we'll find out.
Is that the typical place where something like that might get debuted?
It'll either be there or it'll be at the show following up in February that they do down in Japan.
Okay.
They'll do one there or Paris. It's one of the two. But it's seemingly from all the places like MacRumors.com and places like that, including right here in the Chronicle. I'll just give you a little headline here. This is digital entertainment industry is going through a dynamic transformation, a trend that undoubtedly will continue in 2007, so they say. They talk about how video went online in 2006, and we all have heard about YouTube. Well, actually, I ran into some people the other day who never heard of YouTube and said, "What's YouTube?" And I thought, wow, that's and these are people that are on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And using some, they actually forwarded me some URLs to some very places I'd never come across.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I can look it up. Anyways, it says here, the shift continues at Apple Computer Inc. At the forefront of innovation in the digital arena, they're expected to release products and announce more Hollywood partnerships next week at Macworld. Credited with ushering in the online music and mainstream with iPod and iTunes, it now seeks to make online television and movies a regular feature as well. And they're not quoting anything about the iPhone, which, by the way, they don't own that trademark.
Oh.
No, interestingly enough, if I remember right, it's one of the other dot-com companies down there owns that.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember. It's not Hewlett-Packard, but it's somebody like that. I, for some reason, my brain is a little fuzzy. Imagine that
mm-hmm.
today. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to call it as well, because clearly iPhone, I think I showed you the video.
Yes.
It's a beautiful video that came out about a year ago that's on YouTube. If you just do a search for iPhone, you'll come up with several different knockoffs of it. But apparently Apple hired a marketing firm and said, well, what would it look like if we were to do it?
Uh-huh.
And I really liked it, because Glenn and I have been going through this process of MP3 players, and I got a little SanDisk player a while back, and then he had this really cool little Truly pick and save, which is this wonderful little video.
Pick and save is a store, I think.
Pick and save.
Pick and play, I believe.
Pick and play. Well, pick and save, yes. I got a pick and save MP3 player. And it was about $1.99. No, it was pretty reasonable as well, but it didn't work well with the Mac, because when you put your music files on there, the Mac puts some resource files that this operating system didn't understand how to ignore. So it would play a song, and then it would go, well, I don't know what this is, and stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't good. The SanDisk, on the other hand, that I had before, which I wish I had not been so quick to take it back, was really, really nice. I ended up getting this little Creative Zen from buy.com.
You know, I tried to get that, and they were out of stock.
Yeah.
I found out when you're having trouble going to the Google checkout,
yeah,
most likely it's because they're out of stock.
That's what this is. Well, this one, the radio is fantastic. The voice recorder works well. This sells right now if you go out to try and buy it. It's the Nano Zen Plus. It comes with an FM radio, voice recorder, plays all your MP3s and everything, and it's about 70 to 80 bucks to buy it. But we had a great deal with Google where I got it for $30,
mm-hmm.
you know, between Google and buy.com and a rebate, which I really like it. Cool little packaging, which seems to work well, got high marks, but there's one thing I don't care for at all. It's the same thing I didn't like about the Truly. This does not recognize ID3 tags in the sense of a playlist. So you don't know what you're playing. If you hit play, you have to number your tracks In order to get to play, which is what you have to do on the Truly.
No.
It doesn't show you the category of the music. You can create folders that say Brian Eno, for example.
Oh, okay.
But on the SanDisk, for example, what's really cool with that, you just throw all the files into one generic folder. It automatically knows this is an album by Brian Eno that has this many songs. It looks at the ID3 tags and puts it all together and creates a playlist for you. So you can jump around by album, by artist, or by track. With this, or the Creative Zen, or with the Truly, you only can jump around by song, or you have to go out of the folder into another folder.
Yes, okay.
And, I mean, for some people, I suppose that's handy. What I don't care about this little guy is that you can't see the album that it's playing. All it is just playing the track. So, you know, it plays beautiful. The radio is fabulous, and you can record FM broadcasts. But one interesting thing, they have a firmware update for this that I was about to load,
mm-hmm.
but it disables the FM recording. They're getting a lot of flack from the recording industry to stop this sort of thing, which to me is it's an FM radio, for criminy's sake. We
exactly.
got a caller. Let's see what they've got to say.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. We've got our auto answer system on, so we'll take our first call of the day. And then let me remember, we'll go back to MP3 players. I have some comments on that. And then AVG.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to do
it. We got to do that now. It's going away, folks.
Yeah. So we forgot to mention it on the last show or two. But we'll talk about that today. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome to Zentech and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you. I have an iPod that I just got used, and I really like it. But the only thing I don't like is when you, let's say you put a compilation album into there, and so there's a million different artists.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then when you have your artist list, all those artists show up, and you got a list of artists a mile and a half long, and you can't find the ones that you actually know who they are. And I was wondering if there's a way to tell
iTunes,
to not do that.
In iTunes, if you go in and do a Command-I, get info on the tracks, like I imagine you probably created a playlist or something.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So within those tracks, if you select each track, you'll see that there's a ID in the ID3 tag, there's an actual field for, is this part of a compilation?
Oh, okay.
All right. If you check that and then resave it and put it back onto your iPod, now it's all going to be included within that compilation.
So and not in the artist list.
Right. Well, it'll still show up in the artist list, but you can search by the compilation now as opposed to just searching by the artist.
But unfortunately, you can't get those artists out of your artist list.
Unfortunately, it's still going to show up as an artist. That's one drawback that I don't own an iPod yet. I'm still waiting for the right one, if there is.
Or for the iPhone.
As
right.
Well. But that would be the closest thing I know. If you do check that, at least it compiles it all together. But yeah, I see your problem is you just don't want them to be all listed as individual artists.
Yeah, because there's like, you say you got the letter A, and then there's like 35 people on there that are all from Africa or somewhere you never heard of them, and then trying to find somebody that you know.
Oh,
and it's really, really hard.
Yeah, I see.
So the artist list becomes sort of not useful.
But if you're not using it in the artist, if you just do it by album, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I see your point.
I bet there's a way to do it, but it's probably pretty austerely hard to do.
I have to give that one some thought.
Yeah.
Not having an iPod, I've never run into it, but supposedly this little one that I've got here works with the iPod, but as I described, it ignores the album and all of that sort of stuff.
Now,
well, cool.
Let me suggest this, and I don't work with iTunes much, but can you go into iTunes and edit and take out the artist name?
Oh, sure, you could do that. That's right. You know, Glenn's got a good point.
There you go.
Just go in and do that Command-I and take out the artist
name.
And just have it be the
That's
album.
It.
And there you go.
That's it.
All
okay.
Right?
Thanks, you guys.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Right.
Sometimes I have good ideas.
I would have thought about that later, but you got it now, and that's great. That's why we're here.
Well, one day I need to learn how to work iTunes.
It's so simple.
Glenn,
come on. We'll get together on this.
Okay.
This is actually really simple.
Because I've been using Windows Media Player.
You know, and Windows Media Player is real cool, except one of the things that I don't like about it, for example, with my the streaming radio stations, like what I'm doing now at the other side, it doesn't show you the name of the track that's playing.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why that is. Sweet Angel Don Fisher was actually commented on. She uses Windows Media Player and said, geez, it isn't showing me the name of the track that's playing. Which surprised me because it seems like a no-brainer. All it is reading the ID3 tag on the stream. But iTunes does do that, as does Winamp.
Interesting. So we actually are sending that information out
We don't hear it KVMR, but okay. I'm doing that with the other side stream.
Okay.
So we're going to upgrade eventually where we'll be doing that at here at KVMR as well.
So that's how when you do tune in a radio station on the internet or with some of these fancy new stereos in your car, it'll tell you the station
and
what's playing.
Yeah, they've been doing that in Europe since the late 80s, early 90s. Imagine that. No, they couldn't be ahead of America.
Well, it was surprising. I've said this many times on the show in 99 when I was over in Thailand just flying on the plane. I saw all of these folks from Asia who had these little tiny phones, and the batteries lasted for 2 or 3 days at a time.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know, I was carrying a 2-pound phone with me, and I'm like, wow. And then I, you know, about 2 or 3 years later, you know, here we go, we get this little tiny phone. So some of the newer technology debuts in other countries much earlier than
especially in Korea. Japan used to be the leader, but Korea's taken off.
Yeah.
They have the phones, and Singular now is bringing a lot of those phones over, as well as some other independent networks, which you're going to see more of in the next year or two popping up, that you can get service, and they just, what am I trying to say? Not leapfrog, but just kind of tack on to the other services that are already out there.
Right.
And you can use them so you don't have to pay these guys all this extra money, which is something we'll talk about as well. We got another caller, though.
We do. Let's go ahead and take this next call. Thanks for calling in, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Hey, I wondered if you could advise me. I'm out in the woods, off-grid. Mm-hmm. I have a horribly slow dial-up capability out here past 5-mile house on 20. I heard there's this thing called WiMAX is going to be deployed. Do you know if there's any chance that WiMAX will be able to reach us out here in the boonies?
I'll tell you what, I can refer you to a website, smarterbroadband.com, on our last show. Do you have your radio on, by the way?
No.
Okay, we're getting some sort of feedback. On our last show, Adam Brodell was in, and he was our guest host, but also he runs smarterbroadband.com, and he's just recently installed wireless transmitting off of Banner Mountain. So it's mainly you have to be within sight of his antenna, sort of. It can go through some trees.
Yeah.
But if you check out smarterbroadband.com, and he has a feature in there where you can either put in your address or zip code, probably not a zip code, but he can look, it can tell you whether or not he can get into your area, or you can ask him to come out and take a look and see if he can service your area.
SmarterBroadband.com.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Also, I would recommend checking out the WiMAX.com website, because they've got a lot of information there just about what WiMAX is, and for those folks kind of curious about it, what the system works.
And is it, from your understanding, Mikhail, is that what Adam is doing there at SmarterBroadband?
You know, I don't believe it is, but I'm not
100%
sure.
Maybe his was the wireless net or the wireless mesh.
Yeah.
It's all almost Greek to me. But certainly that would be a jumping off point. And then at WiMAX.com, do they have links to local providers throughout the country?
They have a whole bunch of stuff like that, actually. You can just check out and find out what's going on and just see in general. I know there's been a few different systems we've looked at here. A few years ago, I was trying to get broadband happening for free in Nevada City, and we started, and there was a Cloud X, which is sort of kind of tailed off from, that was going to be beta tested here, but none of it has happened so far. But anyways,
my other option out here was like Hughes would come out for $600
don't know if I would go that route.
And there is another alternative to that, and it's called Wild Blue. It is owned by AT&T. And
I've heard various bad things about Got Sky. Is that the company?
That's different.
Yeah,
that's different. Wild Blue, there's good and bad. You know, some people have had really good luck with it, and other people haven't. So
their upfront equipment cost is much less, although you still have to sign up for a 1-year commitment, and then the monthly cost to me is a little bit high. But if you need between $50 and $70, actually, I think with Wild Blue it starts at $50.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not a bad way to go if that's the only way you can go. You know, I'm still on dial-up. I hate it. You know, people say, well, God, you're the tech guy. How come you're on dial-up?
Hey, we were both like that until just a little while back when I finally got it. I mean, it's amazing to be the tech people and to be like,
give me a few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. Bye-bye now.
Well, you know, interesting, this whole MP3 player thing, I'm real kind of curious where it's all going to go, because is it just going to go to the phone? Is it going to be a little media player? I mean, you know, looking at these little guys that you and I've got, it seems like, why couldn't this be everything? It does almost everything I need now, you know, minus the organizer part, which usually I can still do most of that in my brain.
Okay.
You know? I don't know.
I like the little case on that with the belt clip.
It's really nice.
Now the clear, the opaque is a case that it slides into.
Yeah, it's just like this, just real simple.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you see, it just slots in there like that. And what we're looking at here is just it's a nice little kind of clear plastic, and you can just drop it, whatever, mm-hmm. and don't have to worry about it. And it fits in there, and a little clip, so you can just clip it on your shirt pocket. Comes with a strap and all that other stuff, as well, and all the connecting cables. Other than that playlist issue, this is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I love it. Plugs in, comes up just like a flash drive on your desktop.
AAA battery?
You know, one little AAA.
And it gets about
18 to 20 hours off the one battery.
That is amazing.
And they actually qualified it. I mean, I read several reviews, which is why I ended up buying this, because they said it actually gets what they say, and sometimes more.
Wonderful. Yeah. Folks, these things are just so phenomenal. It can be a little techy getting them connected and working with them, but once you get it down, the process is really pretty easy. And, you know, for me, like I said, I'm going to be joining a gym soon. It's not a New Year's resolution. I don't do that kind of stuff. But a friend and I, we've been researching it, and we're going to make a jump this week, hopefully.
Oh, good.
So one of my main things is I want music while I'm
in the
gym.
This is perfect for that. Just put it on. And then the radio in this is fabulous. Yeah. I have to say, it's the one in the Truly didn't work so well. It was kind of like, for me at least, it didn't seem to work as quite as well.
I was going to turn mine on today and record the show just to see what it sounded like, because mine also has the record feature from the radio, although I did not do that. But I'll try to do that next time we have a show here. They're great, and if you can spend, you know, I'm on the budget end of things. We've gotten them between $40 and $50 for the Truly.
Yeah.
And the neat thing about it is it has a 1.2-inch
color
screen.
It's a nice little display.
It's a nice display that you can read if you're getting old.
It comes with a great case.
Yeah, the case,
I mean,
armband, everything.
You can display pictures on it if you want, little videos. It's a little cumbersome to do the videos, but it does work. And in general, I mean, I like these little guys. This one in particular too, for $30. It also encodes at 120. Let's see, 96, 128, and 160. So you can just plug a line into it and actually encode the MP3 files right onto the unit itself.
Oh.
So you don't even need to use your computer if you wanted to use it that way.
Uh-huh.
So it's got line in and line out, and then a USB connector. So you just plug it in and drag your files over, and that's all there is to it.
Okay.
If it had the playlist stuff where I could at least see the album, then I would be just, I'd be totally happy. But, you know, we'll go from there. So on a different, moving to a different part of tech, recently I got a...
I need to interrupt you and just remind folks that this is KVMR, and that if you want to call in, our phone number is 265-9555. That's our local number. Toll free, 1-800-355-5867. And to let you know, whoops, sorry, I'm smashing the clipboard around here, that in addition to all of you who help support community radio 24/7 all the time, we also want to thank the folks that underwrite this hour of programming here at KVMR, and they are Almsoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or omsoft.com. Omsoft, the enlightened internet solution.
Good. So what I was going to, we always got to be thanking the folks that keep us on the air.
Right.
Folks like you are listener supporters as well. That's what keeps us going here. So recently I got a notice from AT&T. I have a landline, like most of us, as well as my cell phone, as well as my internet, and it seems like just it never stops. But I noticed that AT&T's rates were going up. For example, caller ID was going up almost $2, almost 15%, just for the caller ID feature.
Wow.
The Wire Pro Plus, which is basically just your insurance in case something happens to your phone, so your wire in the house, so you don't have to pay for it, is going up $1. So essentially, by the time you get done with this, for a basic phone that does nothing more than just tell me who's calling, it's going to be ending up costing me over $30 a month. And I started thinking, this is just kind of maddening, because I don't use this phone for anything other than just getting calls from regular folks like you or whoever. So I got to thinking about it. For 2 years now, I've had a couple of different friends saying, you know, Vonage is something you should look into, Mikhail. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to. I like my landline. That's solid. And the power goes out and the internet goes down. I still got a phone. But then again, I thought about it. You know, I'm paying for a cell phone as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have that phone service there. And sometimes it's kind of nice not to actually be contacted. It's kind of nice to just not have any, like, a snow day, you know?
Exactly.
So the point being is I'm doing something different for New Year's 2007. I'm getting rid of my landline and I'm going to get Vonage. This week, I'm actually making the call tomorrow.
Okay.
And for $24.95, you get more services than I can even imagine. All the caller ID, call waiting, all the stuff you want. One of the cool things is you can say, hey, I want, when I'm out and traveling, I want it to ring on my home phone, my cell phone, my internet phone, and my friend's phone. Up to 6 lines, it can ring simultaneously, and whoever picks it up first gets the call. And it goes to voicemail. Then you get an email with a little WAV file saying, hi, this is Glenn. I called calling to say hi. You know, Mikhail, I need to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. And there it is in my email, as well as I can check it from any computer, as well as on a phone. And I get to use my regular nice little Panasonic, you know, phone that I've been using for years.
Mm-hmm.
Just plug in my, you know, regular phone, and it's pretty simple. Where my cable connection comes in, where the Ethernet will plug in, is right next to where the phone line actually comes in. So all I have to do is just take that phone line, put it to an RJ11 jack, and put it in the back of the Vonage, and in my whole house now becomes that instead of PacBell AT&T.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, Vonage, by the way, is owned by AT&T.
Oh, well,
I don't know
there
if you, know
you
that.
Go. I didn't know that. Well, then why?
the conglomerate is
shucks,
spreading.
And I thought I was getting away from it, Chuck.
No. And there are other companies out there. I can't think
of any
right now.
Tell me more, because I haven't done it yet.
You know what? Talk to Paul. Send Paul an email today.
I'm just tired of paying all this extra money for something that I'm not getting anywhere near the service. And when I tried to talk to him and say, look, caller ID, $2?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's that all about? Well, sorry, the price is going up. You know?
Does Vonage offer the new caller ID name?
Yep.
I've been in people's homes and it says, you know, Glenn Farr is calling, and I'm like, who said that? And
well,
it's
my
their phone.
My phone does that automatically. Yeah, I turned that off actually. Actually, I didn't, because I like to hear, like, if the union calls me, it's like, oh, like KVMR is like KVMR, you know.
KVMR.
Yeah, KVMR. You know, it's like you find a call from KVMR.
My what's it called? Voice operated cell phone, where I tell it, you know, to dial and stuff like that. It actually is pretty good with. Initials and names and stuff like that. I'm surprised. It must be an English programmer who did it, because a friend of mine is named Johansson, and it says Johansson is calling.
Oh, really? On your cell phone does that? Oh, well, I have an older cell phone. I'm still waiting for the right one before I upgrade. I'm still 2-3 years back, you know, which is unusual for me, but I decided I'm not going there until I find the one I want, doggone.
Exactly.
It.
You know, check
this
with Paul.
Works, you know?
And I'm gonna let you know that we don't have our internet site, zen.kvmr.org, updated for today, but I'll be working with Paul over the next day or two, because he's the mastermind behind that. Once he creates the day's page, then I can go in and do online or you know, instant editing, which I did last week or 2 weeks ago. I am not able to do that today, but we'll get some of this information on there for you. So yeah, certainly think of some other companies, because I know there was one that Paul subscribed to. It was $19.99 a month, and it included most of Western Europe, Canada, and parts
of
Mexico.
I use Skype for a lot of that stuff, but it wasn't Skype.
No, it wasn't. It was a VOIP.
Okay, it was VOIP.
Almost certainly. So definitely we'll get you some
information. Well, I'll talk to him about that as well.
And I typed in VOIP providers here in Google, and I don't see anything immediately that pops to mind in the one that Paul is using, but we'll get that information. We've got some phone calls coming in. And while we're talking about our webpage, zen.kvmr.org, if you go to the November 20th show over on the left-hand side, click on shows, and then choose November 20th, that's where we have information concerning going to AVG and getting their newest edition, which is 7.5 point something. If you've been using the 7.0 or 7.1, it's been telling you that as of the 15th or 14th of January 2007, they will stop supporting it. Not a problem. They still have the free software out there. You just have to upgrade to the newest edition, and it will continue to be free and supported until they you know, go to the next level. And they've done this a couple of times in the past. Nothing wrong. It's just you need to go to the next level. So let's go to our next phone call. Caller, thanks for holding. You're live with Zentech.
Glenn.
Yes.
It's Ken.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
happy new day to you.
And to you, too. Thank you.
Yes, every day is a new day. In response to Paul's call about AT&T,
yes,
I got the same letter in the mail saying we're going to raise our rates.
Actually, it's
I'm McHale, not Paul.
I'm McHale.
Not talking Paul. Quite with a British accent today.
Okay. And I have a plan with them that I pay $20 a month for my 24/7 calls.
Domestic.
Long distance. Anywhere in the United States.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is with AT&T?
With AT&T.
Yeah, if
I've
you...
I had it with SBC when they changed over and AT&T both got together. It stayed there. Okay. Then I got this deal where it said you have to have call waiting and caller ID to qualify for that. Provide you with this same service. Okay. So I called them about this. I said, so... what is your new plan that you can offer me? And they said, basically, it's the same. It's going to cost you nothing more. You're going to get 13 other options as far as call waiting, call and screening. And I went, I don't need these.
Right.
So I have call waiting, calling her ID. And she said, well, do you want to switch over? I said, well, if I get these extra things and it's going to cost me the same... I said, sure. She says, well, there's a $25 initiation fee.
Yeah, they're throwing fees in.
But there's also surcharges every month as well.
And that, too. I says, you know what? It's going to cost you what? She says, about $2 a month more than you're paying now to stay on your same plan, meaning caller ID, caller waiting, 24/7 calls, and only $2 more, meaning the call waiting, the caller ID went up like 60 cents and the caller waiting went up like... so there was a total of $2.60. And I says, leave me on the plan. I says, if I pay you $25 to go to the other plan, it's going to cost me the same. That's going to take me 12 months to pay that off.
Easy.
So if your concerns are that this is confusing you, it's not. If you call them and you really ask them, they will explain it to you. And the one thing is, look for that $20 a month.
Well, I looked at the one, the only one they offered that was near that was $21.95.
Well, okay, that's
and,
because they raised
it. But on top of that, all the surcharges brought it up to over $30, and that was just with the two features you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that didn't include long-distance calling anywhere in the United States. That was only local calls.
Yeah, they call it interstate and intrastate.
Okay. Yeah. Let me say something very quickly here. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speakers only and not necessarily those of KBMR,
its
board staff, or contributors. But I want to say something now. I want to say they're getting carried away. And I'll tell you what, when they start saying, well, gee, you're our customer and you would like to get a new feature,
but
we're going to charge you to get that feature. I don't know that this is correct, but I'll tell you what, question it and say, you know what, that's not right.
And tell them,
you know, I've been with you for so long.
Well, that's what I told
unfortunately,
them.
Unfortunately, we don't have a choice. Well, now you do have a choice because as long as you get your cable or your internet broadband service from someplace other than AT&T or other than through your home phone line.
Right. It's the same with when DSL came out and they made it available in my area here. I'm right here in Grassville on Rattlesnake Road. I'm still on dial-up. And I tell you, before DSL came in, I had no problems doing my dial-up. Okay? I won't mention the company name. Now that they have the DSL, they want me to buy their DSL.
Right.
Because they lowered the dial-up procedure.
Yes, so it's not as good a quality.
I have to, like, you know, tap it three times to...
Okay. Well, and, you know, I'm going to come back, and if you're going to keep AT&T phone service, their DSL is cheap. It's $14.99.
I don't need it. No. I've got everything they have. And it's the same thing I have, and it's going to cost me $2 a month more.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, at least you're doing your research.
No, because if I go to the other program, it's going to cost me $10 more, and it's going to be the same stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that letter you got, like everybody else got, don't be afraid. Call them and say, hey, what's going on, and... stay with the same program. Like I said, they got the wonderful program for $20. It's set at $20. It's like $20.33, but it's set at $20, and I can call anybody 24/7 a day.
Well,
okay.
Didn't offer that one to me, but I'll maybe I'll try
them
again.
Check it out. Check it out.
Thanks for calling.
That's what you want.
Okay.
Hey, Glenn. Have a good time.
You too, Ken. Happy New Year. Bye-bye. We'll get to our next call in just a moment, but I wanted to continue on this with AT&T. They have had for quite a while for an additional $20 as long as you have caller ID and call waiting. So they're upselling you.
An additional $20?
Yes, you can get the unlimited long distance nationwide.
But why would I want to do that one for $24.95 total? I can have unlimited and all the features and things that I can't do with a standard landline.
But see, you're in a unique situation. Not
true.
Unique, but a different situation
true.
In that you get your internet from
Comcast
cable.
Yeah.
So you can just let go of your landline.
Yeah.
But for those folks who get their broadband from AT&T, or if they get their broadband via DSL, no matter who you buy it from,
right.
You can get it from Full Spectrum, Ohmsoft,
sure.
AT&T.
Same thing.
You're still coming in over your home phone line. And
right.
I don't think you can get rid of your home phone.
You
and
can't.
Still get DSL service on.
No, you can't.
No.
You have to have the phone.
Yeah,
you know.
So you're kind of stuck there. So in the case where people still have their home phone and they think about Vonage, well, that's $25. Or if you're just concerned about domestic long-distance calling, for an additional $20 to AT&T, you can throw that, an additional $20, you can throw that into your
right.
AT&T package.
That just seems like a lot of money. I mean, especially like $2 more a month for caller ID.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
come on.
It's things that we've gotten used to.
Yeah.
And because we've gotten used to them, we like them, they figure they can slap us with
well,
it. Now, hopefully,
bye-bye.
If they get all kinds of phone calls from people like you and you're tying them up for 2 or 3 hours with each customer who calls and says, what is this? What's going on? You know, I've been with you forever, and now you're upping the fees and doing all of this.
Yeah,
maybe
that'll
change
their
mind. I think
about how
mind.
Long I've had a landline with these guys. I mean, it goes back to, like, God, in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
With deregulation, you know, it sort of went away from being just the AT&T specific bell.
For a while, but we're back
but
to that
it's
now.
It's all encompassed. Like I said, Wild Blue is owned by AT&T
Vonage
as well as Vonage. So I had a friend that called me the other day from Sacramento. She's in her mid-80s, God bless her. And she said, Glenn, should I switch to Vonage? And I said, Loretta, probably not. You have to have DSL or broadband internet.
Yeah.
And she was having difficulty understanding how she could have that but not have a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Vonage plugs in before the computer. So it is a nice little feature. And so if you want to think about going that way and not go to a computer,
right.
But again, it becomes cost prohibitive, and that's where you want to go ahead and if you want unlimited nationwide long distance, go with the $20.
Well, I'm curious. I'll have to talk to Paul about what these other ones are, and we'll have to let the listeners know.
Yes, most certainly. So now we have lots of phone calls, so let's go ahead with our next call. Thanks for holding. You're live here at Zentech. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a SanDisk.
Yes.
Oh, great.
And it was great for a while, and it started buzzing on playback.
Oh, really? Which model do you know?
I don't know. I've got it a year ago.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's been reformatted several times, and at first it seemed like there was something going on with the headphones, but now whenever I play anything back, there's this nasty buzz in the back.
Oh, really?
I wonder if your headphone plug going in and out all the time
could
has
be.
Loosened something up. Have you talked to SanDisk and seen if they offer any kind of repair service?
No, I haven't. And I haven't checked their frequently asked questions
that's
either
what
to
I
see
would
if
do,
there was
yeah.
something else in there.
Because there might be a lot of the times the users will say, well, look, I had the same thing, and here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple fix, or it's a hardware problem, like Glenn Mike suggested it
yeah.
could be.
Yeah, because the hardware, anytime, wherever you've got that moving part,
yeah,
there's something can go wrong.
Yep.
Typically in the software and whatnot, which mainly this is, the data is all stored on a flash drive. It's not moving. It's
memory.
All digital memory.
Yeah.
So there's no
there.
Moving parts in there.
The only thing is the analog input connection to the headphones, which hopefully we'll get rid of with Bluetooth here in some of these devices eventually.
Oh, that would be great
you
with
know,
Bluetooth.
It would be so
yeah.
simple. Then there's none of that stuff to wear out. You know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're next on Zentech. Welcome.
Maybe.
Hello.
Hello. How are you today? That's you.
Okay. Happy New Year, fellas.
And same
Happy
to you.
Happy New Year.
I've got one particular question about phones and a sort of a general question to tease your brain. One is I've heard about something called Skype.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
And can you sort of tell me sort of how it works.
Skype is real simple. Just in a brief nutshell, it uses your computer to, it's sort of like Vonage, what we were just talking about, but
uh-huh.
instead it's just using a standard internet connection. You get the software for free. eBay actually bought Skype a while back, so they have Skype video as well as audio now. You get voicemail services, and there's a promo going on right now for $14.95 till the end of January where you can call free for the year anywhere in the United States and Canada and Puerto Rico. So essentially all you're doing is you pick up a little headset, a USB headset, $30, $40, something like that, plug it in, and make a call. I use it to call Australia, Germany, South America, all kinds of places like that, and I think I put in a PayPal account with them, $10, God knows when, and after about 4 or 5 hours of talking to people all over the world, I think I still had $9 left, you know.
One of the things with that, though, is at least when I tried it about a year ago, I put 10 euro in, and it expired after 3 months.
It did. It does. If you don't use it, all you have to do is make one call, and it's fine. It doesn't expire. You just have to use it.
Oh,
if you don't use it within the 3 months period, then it goes away.
Yes. So if you're going
just
to
make
use
one
it,
call, just put it in your little reminder to say, okay, make a call. Call Glenn. Okay, great.
Call someone.
Well, you mean if you use it like today, and the next month, and next month, and the next month,
it'll
the next
stay
month?
For a certain amount of time. But if you just didn't, if it's dormant, if you
for
just use
months.
It dormant,
okay,
it goes away.
I misunderstood.
That's
so,
sort of different than the calling cards, where once you use them for the first initial call, they start ticking and
yeah, this is unlimited.
They run out.
This is unlimited calling until which time you're running. Like for now, locally or in the States, that is, this would be unlimited calling for that $15 for the year.
Right,
but
and
you'd need a PayPal account with some kind of credit card information.
Or just a credit card will work.
Okay.
I thought you had to use PayPal.
Well, maybe you can't. I haven't signed up for the new one. I don't remember if they switched that now since eBay, but. If you don't have
eBay owns PayPal too.
Well, yeah, so that's true. I mean, Glenn and I use PayPal all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it. I've been a PayPal since it first came out. I've been using it.
It really is a
but
great
Skype
service.
Is just super simple. There's also Gizmo. If you want to look into this, Gizmo or Skype are the two services. They're both Mac and Windows compatible. The Windows are always a little bit further ahead because that's the majority of the users.
Mm-hmm.
But they work well. I've got my little Skype account is on my laptop. It's on my desktop. I've got a little Altec Lansing headset I picked up on buy.com for $30, and it's just fabulous. Plug it in, sit and talk. The only thing I don't like about it, of course, is right now with that headset, I'm tethered to a wire, so I can't walk around the house. But there is a Skype-enabled phone, Wi-Fi phone now, that you can pick up. They're not quite all there. If you go to Skype.com and just look around, they'll show you. They've got a ton of different products now that support it. So you could sit at Starbucks on your little Wi-Fi phone and use Skype to talk to anybody for free.
Yeah, and yeah, that shows here they're offering coupons for a Netgear Wi-Fi phone and a Polycom speakerphone. And there are other companies that make stuff. Action Tech has been making some things. Last year, there were a couple of things that were, I know I paid $40 for a little chatterbox.
Yeah, chatterbox.
There was one that you can connect to the computer, and then you connect your phone,
your
home phone
for,
to it.
I got that for Paul, actually. Yeah.
And I haven't used it just because I'm still on dial-up. When you're going to use Skype, chances are you're going to want to have a broadband connection.
Well, yeah, you need at least DSL or cable, one of the two. And cable's hard.
And I'm
fast.
Checking here to see how you can pay them, and it says you got to sign in with Skype. So it doesn't say right here.
I thought they changed it, but I could be wrong. I know PayPal works, and if you don't have a PayPal account, it's easy to get.
Well, I got a PayPal account when I got an eBay account when I bought something, you know, months ago. But I really don't use eBay a lot, and so I don't use PayPal a lot. But I do have the account, so that I could
just
go in there
and
do that.
You don't even need to use PayPal for eBay.
Not
at all. For example, I go shopping, and I'll pick up something down in Sacramento for Mikhail, and I'll send him a little bill from PayPal and say, hey, Mikhail, you know, it's $46.95 for whatever it is I picked up. He'll send me $46.95.
And it just goes right out of my account?
It can be person to person, and it's instant. It's immediate.
It's just like handing him the money, you know.
That way.
I just can't.
I'm just not. I don't do the financial transactions as much over computer.
There's Google Checkout now.
Yeah, Google Checkout.
How do you get to that? It's something .google.
Yeah, I actually went into Google and typed Google Checkout to find it. I couldn't remember
it
what
may
it was.
Maybe checkout.google.
You know, everybody's different with this. I've been using, you know, the internet for my home banking and everything since about 1991 or so because I traveled all over the world a lot and I had no way to take care of paying bills a lot of times and I was gone for a few months at a time. And I've never had one incident of any kind of issue of anything go wrong or anybody hack into my account or anything else.
Wow, that does a lot.
You know, but that's me. I mean, I've read about the horror stories that I'm sure you have or heard rumors of them, but I'm a guy who's been doing this for, 16 years? And I've never had one issue with it, and it's really handy.
You know, I've been hearing rumors, but I've never heard a real story from
anybody
of their bank account or that
kind of information
being compromised. If anything,
it was helpful because there was a couple times where I screwed up the transaction for some reason, and the computer didn't pay it or something. They gave me a credit. the company that I was making the payment and it was late to, they said, oh, it's home banking. Okay, well, that happens occasionally.
So
it actually worked out to my favor in that regard.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm a Mac user primarily, but I'm using a G3. It was upgraded to a G4.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hardware upgrade.
Exactly.
Then.
But
yeah.
Now I'm looking at this Core 2 Duo.
Yep.
And really getting excited about. Okay, finally, it's like buying a new car. After I bought one, I said I'll never buy a new car ever again. I'll never buy the one off the brand new one because I'll be disappointed. 2 months later, it's going to change. So I'm waiting for Macworld to happen.
Well, you're not going to see a lot of Macworld other than just some faster stuff.
Exactly. You know? It's not really, nothing much is going to happen.
I mean, I've got the 17-inch laptop, the Intel Core Duo, that runs at 2.136 or something. I forget what it is, but it's fabulous. Love it. And I'm in the process of testing Photoshop that's Intel compatible now on the Mac. It's a beta version of that, and it screams. I mean, it's really, really nice. And, I mean, the nice thing about this laptop now is I've got a PC laptop as well as a Mac. I booted up into Windows XP, and you'd never know it wasn't a Windows machine except for the fact that it's got a MacBook
cover.
You know.
And do you have a control key on your keypad?
I
do. Still the little Apple key.
I have the command key, which they swap it. The only thing that they don't have, which is the stupidest thing, I don't know what Steve Jobs' problem is at all. There's still only one mouse button. You know, because Apple, for some reason, thinks you only need one. And it's like, I'm sorry, folks. That's one place where Microsoft and Windows, just jumped way ahead. It's just like, duh.
Now,
give me 10 buttons. You
when
know,
you're
whatever.
Using the PC side of it, it'll work with two mouse buttons?
It'll work with two mouse buttons, just like a charm. And there's actually a key combination you can do to get the second mouse button, which is just, you know, just build it into the damn trackpad.
Yeah.
The day Apple does that, I'm going to be a happy camper. Not that I'll buy the new machine because of it, but it would be a nice thing.
It sure would be.
Well, I really like the iMac 24.
That's the one to get, man. I want one of those.
It's so crisp. It's so clear. And I don't go and take my computer places usually because I don't have to travel with a computer.
I don't need to. Right.
And so I usually use it at home. And so I'm thinking, for the money I'd spend on a good laptop, the console is just incomparable. And you're limited with RAM, but
how much RAM do you need?
I'm not going to do a lot of heavy-duty Cray supercomputer kind of graphics anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got 3.5 gig in my desktop, and I have yet to run into a problem with that. And we can get damn close to that on the 24 iMac, you know.
Yeah, you got to pay a lot of money.
But you don't buy it through Apple. You always buy your memory after the fact.
Yeah.
You get the basic stuff in there when you buy it. Apple charges you an arm and a leg for hard drives. They charge you an arm and a leg for the memory because they can. It makes it an easy thing for you as the user to configure it. But don't, please. We recommend it. Don't.
If you have a screwdriver, you can get in there and change it.
Oh, just go down to Fry's and that's what Glenn and I had done. We just pick up the RAM that we need there or whatever, the hard drive.
Crucial.com, is it, sells memory online?
Oh, yeah, there's a few different.
Kinds of places where you can
we're just watching Fry's all the time or buy.com. There's always a good deal on memory. I mean, gosh, it's just phenomenal. We picked up an SD card, 1 gig SD card for $7, a week ago.
Now, let me ask you this, Mikhail. I didn't realize that the new DDR or DDR2 RAM works in an Apple now. It used to be that they were not compatible.
Well, they have to be
PCs?
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're doing the Intel processor.
So that's the change.
Yeah.
Which makes it great
for Apple, makes it great for the users. So that's what I would recommend. Buy it with the basic stuff and add what you need. Like, you know, the memory is easily, thankfully, Apple didn't make it crazy to put the memory in. It's not hard to do. You don't have to go to an Apple tech service place to do
that. So it's actually serviceable by you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, as far as the hard drive goes, get the biggest hard drive you can afford when you get it, because that is a little more of a pain in the butt to do, you know, to be honest.
But, for example, 500 gigs, you saw it $140, $130 online
$130. It was $107 one day, and then I missed it, and it went up to $139.
And they're selling it out of the store.
500
gigs for $180 right now down at Fry's today. So
how much?
$180 for the 500 gigs.
Yeah.
Seagate, which is
Seagate.
We recommend the Seagate because it's a five-year warranty.
Five-year warranty because the Mac store is made by Seagate now, but they supposedly have that warranty, I've heard recently. But I'm not. I just had a drive literally smoke in front of me a week ago. I went to plug it in, and it just went. And I was like, great. And I looked. Of course, it's a Mac store. No offense, folks. Mac store was a good. There was a good day, but
and
not.
I had a Seagate that just failed, and I plugged in the serial number, and it happened to have been one that they built before they were offering the five-year warranty. So the warranty ran
it
out
happens
late
to
last
both
year.
Of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So no service warranty issues or.
With what?
In the new iMac.
Just get your Apple Care. Once you get it, you've got a year to do it. Get your Apple Care for it, and then you'll be set for 3 years. You don't have to think about anything. Anything goes wrong, it's
fixed.
When it
melts, it melts.
Yeah, anything happens at all. I mean, the great story I always tell is coming back from Germany, my laptop had failed, the PowerBook. I got to the airport in San Francisco waiting for the connecting flight to Sacramento, called Apple Tech because I was just sitting there with nothing to do. I said, can we get this set up to return? And they go, yeah, well, what's the problem? And I explained it. They said, yeah, it does sound like there's a problem. So can you give me the serial number? I turned it over, and there was a melted hole in the bottom of my PowerBook back in the old days of the plastic. And I said, I think I found the problem. So literally the next day, they showed up with Airborne, picked it up, and 2 days later, it came back with a complete new motherboard, complete new case, everything. Literally, by the time I was un-jet-lagged, I had my computer back completely working and ready to go, and it cost me nothing except a phone call.
Wow, you've had great experiences.
Well, I can tell you some horror stories, but this is the new year.
Happy New Year!
We'll go with happy stuff. You know what? We're going to take another call
Thanks
or two.
So
Thanks so much.
Happy New Year
Have
to you.
Have a great year.
Good luck.
You too. Bye-bye. And we'll go with our next call again. Thank you so much for holding. You're finally live on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go back a ways. I've got a computer that was given to me that's running Windows 98.
Oh. Ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. There goes my heart.
And every time I turn it on, it goes into network safe mode. And I can't figure out how to get it out of the network safe mode.
You know, I can't tell you. Paul could probably tell you, other than I think it's time to, once you do get into, even in safe mode, get into the unit, back up, and look about getting another computer. They're so inexpensive today. For under $500, you can get a real spiffy computer, sometimes even with a 17 or 19-inch LCD included.
The other thing to say is a gift is not always necessarily a gift.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like, I'm not using this. You want it? And then you get it and go, great, I got this. And then it's like, gee, there's a reason why they weren't using it. Isn't it maybe?
There's really only one thing I want to use it for. I want to specifically use it as a music computer to do music editing and stuff.
Well,
and I'm not going to be running a whole bunch of other stuff on it.
Well,
even for music editing, you really should be getting a newer computer.
I would suggest that. You can do things in Win98, but believe me, there's a lot of, you're not going to find much of in the way of apps that are still supporting Win98. You're going to have to go with older versions of software that is not necessarily, it could work, it could do the job for what you want if you find the right apps. But you're not going to be able to go out and buy new stuff that's Win98 compatible, as a rule.
You know, come on the flea market on Thursday and say, you know, hey, maybe looking for a new used computer. People have upgraded over the holidays, and
good idea.
Yeah, not saying you couldn't get this to do the job, but you're going to spend a lot more time twisting and turning about it than just going out and spending a few $100 and getting something that will really be just a no-brainer right from the beginning.
And from a tech service aspect, you're not going to get many people that'll come out and work on a 98 machine.
Yeah, they just go, well, bye-bye.
You know, for what you'd pay for a house call or taking it into the shop, you've got a new computer.
There you go.
So I'd really recommend you look in that direction.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling
Speaking of PCs, AVG, got to let people know about this.
Yes. So again, the November 20th show notes at zen.kbmr.org, and if you click there, there's a link where you can just click right on it. It comes in and starts downloading for you immediately. So again, that brings in the new AVG 7075 free is what the file's called, and it's version 7.5 point something. Install that right over your existing AVG. It'll say, do you want to upgrade it? You say yes or update it. You say that, and then you go right with that. So, again, that's
something
very
important.
Now,
what's going to happen with their free stuff going away? Now, that's the one thing that I was reading recently. I got a little note from them when I booted up my Mac into PC mode. It says, you know, the free version of AVG is going away. Bye-bye.
Well, I think that's what you're seeing the pre 7.5 release.
So that's what this changes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. That's what I wanted to make sure, because I had that confusion and I thought that's what you were saying.
Yes.
But I just, yeah.
Yeah, so if you see that, don't get scared. Just go and get this newest update. This is the easiest link. Well, here, or you can go to download.com, type in AVG free. Don't look at the little ads, the first things you see. The internet is so socially engineered. You know, they put clicks that look really important and urgent and the right ones that you want, and they're not. So be careful. We're going to remind remind you, this is KBMR FM Nevada City 89.5, and for helping to underwrite this past hour of programming, we want to thank OhmSoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or OhmSoft.com. OhmSoft, the enlightened internet solution. We'll take this one last phone call, hopefully fairly quickly, and then we'll finish up the show on this first day of the new year of 2007. Hi, caller.
Hi. I'll try to make it quick. I downloaded Adobe, the new Adobe 7.05, whatever it was. It says, do you want to save or run? You always get asked that question.
When you say Adobe 7, what would...
For Adobe Reader. Oh, they, for Adobe Reader. They have this automatic, very annoying update,
yes.
And especially when you're on dial-up. I think this is
yes.
Maryland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it took forever for you to get
Maryland,
the thing.
Right.
Yes, and it keeps asking me, but I think I made a mistake. I might have said run. I should have said save first. You know how it asks you...
Run is the right answer. As long as you know that it's a trusted software company, and this update brings up their funny little window, so that is a safe one to do, and that should update your system. However, they're probably, as soon as you finish the one, it's going to go back and say, oh, now that you've updated to this, you need to update to that.
Okay.
I just always say don't. I say
yes.
Cancel, because it's working fine for me right now, and I don't know that, does Adobe have security issues with their reader? Do you know, Mikhail?
I don't know. I know they have with some of it, but I don't know about the reader because I don't use it.
Okay.
So.
So when you're asked that question, do you want to save or run? If you say run, is it automatically saved on your computer, or do you just get asked that every...
It is not automatically saved at that point. It downloads it onto your computer, and then it runs it. And I believe it puts it in a temporary file that will eventually go away. If you say save, if you got plenty of space on your computer, sure. But then after you say save, if it doesn't automatically come up and say, okay, now that you've saved it, do you want to run it?
Right.
Then you've got to go find it
yes.
and say run. So that can be an issue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
all
Marilyn.
Right.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One of our longtime regular callers here into Zentech. So Jimmy Accardi coming up here.